We always chat to Carl Lewis on a Sunday morning, and it's been a brilliant journey with him since we started the show until we sort of kept the show going. And everything in terms of sport has happened. We've got the Super 15s that have actually started. Carl, is it Super 17 or 15? You never know with these rugby guys.
It's a super, well, it's a super rugby now. Oh, okay. With 15 teams. Thank goodness.
Super rugby. Okay. That started out over the weekend. Friday morning, we were watching some
Chiefs
of the,
and the Highlanders
on the telly. Yeah.
The Highlanders beat the Chiefs actually, 30-27. So quite a good result there as usual. Very entertaining rugby from the New Zealand sides.
Yeah, and keep your DSTV subscription going until the games are finished in any case. But, Carl, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show again, and thanks for being with us on a Sunday morning. This week we are going to be discussing the Amajita's junior Bafana Bafana. Mm. Talk to us about that. Is there really success there, or are they looking to their role models as Bafana Bafana and also flopping along the way?
Good morning, Zane. Yeah, Amajita, they reached their goal. Their goal was to, their goal was to reach the World Cup later this year, which they did. They obviously had to make it to the semi-finals of the AFCON under 20, which they did. They drew with Nigeria, Niger, and then they beat Burundi to qualify in the group stages. Unfortunately, they lost 1-0, to Senegal in the semis, but they still qualified nonetheless. But I think what you have to keep in mind with the Amajita side, well done to this group of players to qualify, but there are roughly, I would say, about 10 to 15 players who are not available, who aren't playing. The reason being, this falls outside of a FIFA date. Not registration, but just there when you're allowed to have international competition. So clubs aren't obligated to release their players. So I'll give an example. There's a youngster at Supersport from Cape Town, Luke Fleers. He plays for Supersport United. He's training with their first team squad, and they didn't want to let him go. Excellent player. Then you got someone who just left Orlando Pirates called Lau Foster. He left Orlando Pirates to Monaco in France. He couldn't be, they didn't release him because he's still playing for their second team. In fact, he scored last week on his debut in French football, although it's the second, the second team. So they missing some real quality players. And I think the fact that they, you know, they could rough it with, some of the bigger teams in Africa, it actually bodes well for the future. So when those players do come back, I do feel sorry for some of the players that helped us to qualify for the World Cup are unfortunately not going to make it to the World Cup because there are so many regulars missing.
Isn't there somewhere a rule or regulation that says, you know, your country's needs sort of surpass your contract with your club, or is it the other way around?
Well, you have to realize that the clubs are paying them their salaries, so I think with any employee, if I'm paying you your main salary, I should be allowed to tell you when you can go and I should be able to have some sort of control. And that's why the FIFA dates are there. Have these tournaments scheduled in between these dates, and then clubs have to release. But other than that, they can't. And I understand that. Clubs are playing huge money for certain players, and they need to keep hold of their prize assets as they make run-ins for the league. I mean, this is the second half of some of the European leagues and here in South Africa, and it's important time. So you can understand where the clubs are coming from. And, you know, some people say, but then just don't select these guys. You know, they didn't help us. They stick with the team.
But then we don't have the quality players. We don't have the best players that the country has to offer if we're not selecting these guys. So somewhere along the line, is there sort of a halfway mark between the two? Can the country sort of, we go out and say, you know, you're playing for France or you're playing for Morocco or you're playing overseas. We know that we cannot contract you as a country on a continuous basis and pay you a salary because there's not that much money around. Is there sort of a halfway mark to meet?
I think they should follow the route of the senior AFCON that's going to take place in Egypt later this year. It's being played in the middle of the year after the football season. Remember, the senior men's AFCON always used to be played during January. And that would mean our top top, like Sadio Mane, Didier Drogba, the Toure brothers, those guys are leaving their clubs being paid hundreds and thousands of pounds a month. They're leaving their clubs for 3 weeks to a month. That's unfair on their careers. And some European clubs were actually reluctant to sign African players because of this fact that, you know, they're going to lose players in January every 2 years. So that's why they've changed that now. They've moved that to the end of the season, and I think that will help African players' careers. Yes, the up north, it's a bit hotter in June, but we can get over that somehow. I don't know, but I think they should move the AFCON under 20 should move the way of the senior men's and move it to the end of the season. So all the best players in Africa, young players, can be competing in this competition.
And then we've got our players available.
Yes.
Carl, I've never sort of really grappled with this entire situation of Caster Semenya and Caster Semenya being recognized as a man by the IAAF. I mean, she has had a tremendous challenge and a battle with this ever since she started, actually. And she's got incredible support from locals, and every single South African loves her for the fact that who she is, she stands up for what it is all about. Where did this latest debacle come from?
Okay, so the IAAF, they announced these rule changes for athletes, middle distance female athletes. It was basically, if you read between the lines, actually you don't have to read between the, it's so bloody transparent.
It's a hidden agenda.
That this was directed at Custer. So basically, female athletes, they call them DSD athletes, I'm trying to get the acronym. It's got to do with sexual differences.
Yes.
So basically, she has to keep her testosterone levels under a certain, I won't get into the technicalities of it because it's quite a complex nanobles and steroid. Anyway, she has to keep her, with these new rules, she has to keep her testosterone levels under a certain limit. So her natural, and for a few other females, they're, natural testosterone is higher than that threshold. So basically, they would have to be taking certain supplements to maintain their testosterone levels below that level. And they arguing, and Custer is arguing that that's not right. I should be able to compete normally. I'm a female.
That's right, yeah. But the thing is, actually, is for me that bothers me in this particular case is exactly, is this coming from certain factions within the IAAF?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say where exactly it's coming from. I know Sebastian Coe, the former, the president of the IAAF, he was very pro this rule, but there's been a big kickback, for these rule implementations. That's why they actually, it was supposed to be implemented last year, November, but it hasn't been because Custer said, I'm taking you to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which starts tomorrow, Monday, in Switzerland. So their case at CAS starts tomorrow. So they have delayed the ruling or the implementation of this ruling, until this court case is heard. So it has big implications. It's not only for Custer, it's for other athletes like her.
And the thing is actually is that once you have this rule, which then becomes a precedent for other people, then you're looking at football, you're looking at hockey, you're looking at, and especially you're looking at tennis.
Yep. I spoke to Dr. Ross Tucker as soon after these rule changes were, and he says, you know, he believes that the IAAF is going to lose this. Reason being the science, it's hard to back up the science, to argue the science for it. And he believes there's actually no moral answer here. There's no right answer in this situation. So it will be a very interesting case. I'm not sure where it's going to go or how it's going to play out. But I do feel sorry for females who produce more testosterone than others. And that's what Custer does. That's just unfortunate. It's natural.
It's a genetic thing, and it's a natural thing that happens within your body, unless they can prove that, you know what, she was born a male and then you know had a sex change. Then it's a different story. Then it puts a sort of a different twist on it completely. But she was born a female, what her body produces as a female and what comes out of her body as a female is uncontrollable by her.
Mm.
She's not drinking any supplements to give her a higher testosterone level. So, yeah, I'm tending to agree with Dr. Ross Tucker on this one, that it's going to be very difficult to prove in a court of law to stand up there and say, science says this, you know, and here is the biogenetics to actually prove all of this going wrong. So, would you have a guess as what the outcome will be on this court case tomorrow?
I think there was an Indian woman, a 100-meter athlete woman, and the IAAF tried something similar. With regards to testosterone levels. And she took them to Cass as well. And guess what happened? She won that. And the IAAF had egg on their face. So obviously, being a South African, I hope that's the same outcome. But it really is hard to say, because I'm not a scientist. I haven't done the studies. I'm not an expert in this field. So it's hard for us to kind of pass judgment and predict the outcome when we don't really have all the information at our disposal. So I'm really interested to see the arguments from both sides. There was rumors that the IAAF are going to say that Custer is a biological man, a male. But they didn't do it directly, but they denied that that's going to be their argument.
No.
But they didn't explicitly say, you know, we're not going to say she's a man. They didn't explicitly say that. So I'm very interested to see what they're going to come with.
I think the argument would basically be, although she is a woman, unfortunately she produces high levels of testosterone, which puts her more in the male category than what it puts it in a woman's category.
Yeah.
But maybe if she competes against the guy, she'll probably beat the whole lot of them too.
Probably. But she does have, I think, I'm not sure who's funding this. I've been trying to ask this question to the sports minister and Athletics South Africa, because they've got Norton Rose, which is one of the bigger law firms around that will be representing them in Lausanne?
In Switzerland?
Mm. Yeah, so that's where Cass is. So she's got some heavy hitters in terms of lawyers representing her. So at least she won't be short on quality there. So let's see. I will definitely be keeping you updated.
Yeah, is our local athletics body backing her?
Yes, Athletics South Africa they came out strongly as soon as the rule changes were expressed or made public. The sports minister, I must say, from the get go, she has just been like, this is not going to happen. This is discrimination. This is sexism. We are going to fight this. And I mean, in fact, on Friday morning, she held a press conference for South Africans to rally support behind Custer. And I remember speaking to her 2 weeks ago, where she said, I'm working on a campaign that I want to launch to get South Africans behind Custer, to hands off our Custer, hashtag hands off our Custer. So this was her brainchild. She wants to drum up support from the whole country, so we can be backing one of our superstar athletes. Custer Semenya is a ridiculously good athlete.
And she's become a role model for a number of young people who would like to aspire to something like that also.
100% Zane. And not only on the track. Mm. I think the way Custer carries herself off the track is really something to admire. Never does, you know, when her competitors are not shaking a hand, she doesn't make a big scene about it. She quietly goes about the business. She's not petty. So when she's winning everything, she doesn't throw it in people's faces. So I must say, she's a bigger person than what I would have been. I would have probably been a bit spicy and a bit petty in my press conferences, you know, a little. I'd throw in a little chirp here or there. Yeah. So I must say, from a personal point of view and as a sports reporter, the way she's conducted herself off the field, I'm just in awe.
Chatting to Carl Lewis this morning on a Sunday morning on the sprint, and we've dealt with the junior Bafana Amajita. We've dealt with Custer Semenya. Super Rugby just started. Where are we heading? Which sides in South Africa look good or stand a chance of actually coming out tops at the end of it?
Well, you know, the Lions made the final last year. They're always a team to look out for, but their forward pack, which is your engine room and very important to any rugby side, they're very young and not as, I'm not going to say not as good, but not as fearsome as perhaps they were last year. But they do still have Warren Whiteley, inspirational captain, and Malcolm Marks, who is one of our best players in South Africa and probably the best hooker in the world. The Stormers, beautiful squad. They've struggled to deliver. Yes, over the years, they've struggled with injuries. But I think this could be a positive year, especially if they can get a lot out of the three South African derbies that they start the competition off. If they can get three wins or two wins, I think it will settle the nerves because there's a lot of pressure on Robbie Fleck. And I asked him about that pressure. He said he doesn't feel any pressure. It's his last year of his contract. So he's just going to have fun this year. He's just going to coach with freedom and have his players play with freedom. I think we should also watch out for the Sharks. They obviously won the Currie Cup. Things are starting to come together under their coach, Rob Dupreer. The Bulls, interesting one. New coach, Poorte Himan. They signed Dwayne Vermeulen and Schalk Brits. Two experienced Springboks.
Yeah.
Hell of a players. Although Schalk Brits is 37, still is in fantastic shape. I'm interested to see how they go. I think if they have a bad start to the tournament, it could be a long year because the Bulls franchise and union has been in a bit of turmoil for a few years now. A
number of years, yeah.
You know, from the, it's long gone are the days of Heineken Meyer where they were dominating Super Rugby and domestic rugby. So they're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how the off-field side of things and the sort of, you know, the underhanded politics and hidden agendas and people wanting to have control of certain things, how that eventually affects the team, you know, who basically has got nothing to do with it, but it runs through their bloods.
Oh, well, interesting you bring that up. I mean, we all know of what's happening here at Western Province.
Yeah.
I think we spoke about it last week.
Last week, yes.
The same thing could be said of the Bulls. Their high-performance manager, Zander Janse van Rensburg, who's in charge of player recruitment, and player affairs, he resigned a few days ago, just before the first game of Super Rugby against the Stormers. So, and just before that, a Bulls legend, Bucky Botha, said on a show, Vida F as Zander on a TV show in South Africa. I think it was Talks and Chops or Super Rugby. They asked him, you know, what do you think of Zander Janse van Rensburg? And, Bucky's apparently said, Vida F is, hey. So it just shows you there's politics at the Bulls as well. They've changed their CEO recently. So lots of behind the scenes stuff, like you said, Zane.
Carl Lewis catching up with us on the sprint. We dealt with the Amajitas. We spoke about Caster Semenya and giving us a bit of an insight into where our local teams stand in terms of Super Rugby, which probably will end somewhere in September, August, around about there. So just keep a lookout for that, and we'll keep you posted as the Super Rugby unfolds during the course of the year.